day.
While at the racetrack, bidding on ponies and nearly losing his shirt, Mitch noticed a priest step up onto the track and bless the forehead of horses lining up for the fourth race. Would you believe it? That horse, the long shot, won the race. Mitch then watched with intensity to see what the priest did during the next race. And sure enough, the priest stepped up on the track, blessing the forehead of a horse. Mitch ran to place his bet and on that horse and another long shot, and it won too. And so it went the rest of the afternoon. Mitch pulled in some very serious cash. And at the last race, he approached and he knew his wildest dream were just about to come true. So he made a quick stop over at the ATM and withdrew his life savings. And then he waited for the priest's blessing, and sure enough, the priest stepped up on the track, blessing the forehead, the eyes, the ears, the hooves of one horse. Mitch bet every cent on that horse. And then he watched in utter amazement. He couldn't believe his eyes. The horse was dead last. Oh, Mitch was exasperated. He made his way to the track and found that priest and demanded no, he said, "Father, what happened? All day long you've been blessing the horses and they all won. And this last race, you blessed the horse and it lost. And now I've lost all my savings." And the priest just nodded and said, "That's the problem with you Protestants. You can't tell the difference between a simple blessing and last rites." Oh my gosh. Likewise, we don't always see the signs clearly, do we? We are blinded by what our ego wants. I am aware of and guided by the sacred breath of life as I fish in the sea of infinite possibilities. Can you all affirm that with me? I am aware of and guided by the sacred breath of life as I fish in the sea of infinite possibilities. One more time. I am aware of and guided by the sacred breath of life as I fish in the sea of infinite possibilities. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Can you imagine? It's break of dawn, and you're on a boat on a large lake with mountains in the distance, with the sun rising up over the mountain and peaks and glitter of light just shining everywhere. It's beauty, it's calm, it's serene. You've been out on the water, silently bobbing up and down, just a few hundred feet from shore, and not a single fish have you caught. As the early sun peeks over the mountains, the slivering light shimmers all over the mountains. And it's actually a moment of despair. It's time to head back to the shore and empty out the empty nets. Approaching the shore, a solitary figure stands where the water mingles with the sand. That figure calls out to the seven on the boat, "Children, you have no fish, do you? What is this man, a psycho or psychic?" Right? Everyone on the boat all replies at the same time, "No!" He then says, "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and there you will find what you've been looking for." And shaking their heads in resistance, all seven comply, picking up the nets, taking a deep sigh in, and then mumbling under their breath, "Who is he calling, children? Why doesn't he come out here and throw those nets himself?" And then they cast the nets over the right side. What else do you have to lose? And suddenly and amazingly, the boat begins to rock back and forth as the nets are overflowing with fish. The nets are so full that you can barely haul the catch into the boat. You're ecstatic and yet bewildered. Why hadn't this happened before? It was in that moment, almost 2,000 years ago, John remembered a similar experience that occurred at the start of Jesus' ministry. The author of the Gospel of John knew in that moment that man on the shore was the risen Christ. When he let the other disciples know, a wild excitement filled the boat. They stopped battling with the fish, and they all rushed to shore. They found a fire burning on the shore with fish cooking, biscuits, and Jesus standing next to it, holding a piece of bread, said, he smiled and said, "Bring some of your fish over here and that you've caught and have breakfast with me." This is a mostly forgotten story in the last chapter of the Gospel of John. Simple, yet powerful. Jesus went before them to Galilee to greet them, right? Just as he said he would that night before his crucifixion. But they didn't really expect it, did they? And those words of prophecy seemed to be the farthest thing from their minds. After the horrors following the Passover dinner, they came here to the Sea of Galilee to the relative calm, to escape the chaos and go fishing. This story shares a very different perspective of what happened after the crucifixion, doesn't it? It allows and encourages our mind to begin to go out fishing on the sea of infinite possibilities. You know, the four Gospels have a number of stories that take place on that Sea of Galilee. One in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke is the same story that tells how Jesus fell asleep on the front of the boat and then a big storm arose as the waves come crashing into the boat, filling it with water. The disciples panic. And they wake up this sleeping Jesus who just stood up and spoke, "Peace, be still." And the winds were stable. On another day, Jesus sent his disciples across the sea ahead of him while he took time to pray on the top of the mountain. When evening came, Jesus was waiting alone on the land, and while that boat was out there on the sea getting beaten by the waves. When he realized they were fighting against an adverse wind, Jesus walked across the water towards them, right? And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost, right? And Jesus said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. When Jesus stepped into the boat, the wind stopped. They were utterly astonished. On another day, Jesus climbs into a boat and begins to tell the parables about the kingdom of heaven. And there are, oh, so many more stories that happen on the Sea of Galilee. So I was wondering, why did the authors of the Gospels have such a fascination with the Sea of Galilee? Why? One might be it was part of their lifestyle, and it was a good metaphor to be fishermen on a sea of infinite possibilities, right? Because all the disciples were actually fishermen. Allowing their minds to go to be open and catching fish, catching divine ideas in the mystical dimension of life. You see, in ancient times, the sea metaphysically represents this realm of infinite unexpressed potential. And if we have trained our imagination and have learned how to allow our faculty of spiritual discernment to guide us, we can catch fish, divine ideas, right? You might see those fish emblems everywhere on people's car. I got one on mine, you got one on yours, and it represents catching divine ideas. That hold the answers and the challenges of your life. You see, it becomes this very interesting idea, right? And metaphysical interpretation is where every person, place, or thing within a story actually is happening in us. The story, Bible stories are about our challenges that are happening in us in each and every moment. And metaphysically, the Sea of Galilee represents this field of infinite possibilities. Where is it at? It's all around us, all the time, wherever we are. And it's filled with ideas and wisdom and love and peace, all of which can be shaped and formed by your imagination. And our thoughts and our words, we only need to become still and begin listening with all of our heart to begin to feel its presence and its guidance. When you study the ancient teachings from this perspective, you can gain powerful insights into the spiritual dimension and just jump out at you at all times. This is what the ancient Jewish people believed, and where Charles Fillmore derived the teachings that are found in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Y'all read that all the time, right? It's a great big thick book. Lots of ideas in it. You see, Jesus was an ancient Jewish mystic. He followed the Essene way. And this is why it makes sense that the number of parables he shared about the kingdom of heaven have to do with fishing on the sea of infinite possibilities. So, let's take a metaphysical look at this story where the risen Christ, and the Christ is that awareness in us that is aware of the living energy field all around us. It connects us to what Teilhard de Chardin called the noosphere. It holds all the knowledge of the universe within it. Remember that metaphysical interpretation is happening in you. And every person, place, or thing in the story is a character in your awareness. It's one of your attributes of your mind. So the story starts with seven disciples. How many? How many primary chakras do you have? Okay. You know which ones they are, right? You'll learn those later. Right? Seven of our internal spiritual faculties have been fishing in the sea of infinite possibilities all night long. Right? In other words, you've been praying all night long, and you may have been falling asleep and waking up, and those seven primary chakras are just hanging out there. You don't gain nothing. You don't catch any fish. You don't catch any ideas, even though you've been worried about something. Right? Never happens to any of y'all, right? No. At daybreak, as the light begins to shine, they see figures standing along the shore where the sea of infinite possibilities mingles with the manifest realm. These figures calls them, this figure that Christ calls them children and instructs them to throw the net over the right side of the boat. This figure is standing between the two realms of our existence. Where we find out that Jesus represents the Christ in us. Is Christ shouting insults and ridicules to those out on the boat? Thinking that they have apparently failed? No. The word children actually is derived from a word that means offspring of, to spring forth from the mind of God. Do y'all know that you sprung forth from the mind of God? And that's why you're here today? So Christ is telling us to connect with the divine and then throws our nets out from the right side of the dwelling place that is your mind. That place where you spend most of your time. Unaware that you're fishing on the sea of infinite possibilities. Unaware that there is this mystical dimension that's right out here just beyond your sight. So the Christ tells us to check in with the divine and throw our nets over the right side. Now, being somebody who has a dyslexic body, this right-left thing never made any sense at all. Right? Especially in a boat. How do you really know which is the right side? Right? Especially when it's moving. Right? Or is the Bible story really about making something right or wrong? From this moralistic point of view that some of us learned. Do you think the disciples thought that they had been fishing on the wrong side of life all night long? Is there a wrong side to fish from? Or is it really talking about being out of sync with themselves and the universe and why they didn't each catch a single fish, right? They didn't catch a single divine idea all night long. Oh my gosh. We hear a lot about being on the right side in the Bible, don't we? When you go to heaven, you're going to sit on the right side of God. The right side is always the good side, right? However, being on the right side is not talking about the religious right, as some of them think. Or it might be the difference between what is right or wrong in a moralistic kind of way, as if someone can be more right because of their moralistic point of view. Making somebody else's position wrong or evil. Causing us to think, God is on my side, and you're in a heap of trouble. Right? The spiritual teachings of the Bible are not like that at all, actually. The right side is a place in your thought where you realize the true nature of the universe. Right? And that you are one with it and in it. An inexhaustible matrix of living energy, expanding field of infinite possibilities, which is always present right where you are. And it's breathing through you. Wow. Did you catch that breath? Did you catch the breath of God flowing through you? Glad somebody said yes. What can be the opposite side of the right side? Not the left or the wrong side, or the evil side, so to speak. The opposite side is seeing through the lens of your mortal mind and the darkness of duality, the darkness of dualistic thinking, which is totally the wrong way to go through life. But it doesn't make it evil. Living from this sense of separation just feels incomplete. It just feels yuck. Like there's something missing. And there is. An awareness of the sea of living energy that surrounds and unfolds you in each and every moment. Just as Charles Fillmore wrote, the nets of a man's thoughts work hard and long through the darkness of the night, but with little gain. Living life through the awareness of the mortal mind is just not productive. It's not healthy, nor does it produce happiness. We're all on this journey of awakening, a quest to realize a deeper and more profound awareness of this infinite one's presence that's all around us, the living field in which we live, move, and have our being. That's something I quote all the time from where? Acts 17. 27 and 28. It's in the Bible. You live, move, and have your being in God. John, the letter of John, chapter 4, verse 16. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Right? Jesus, in the Gospel of John 4, 32, 33, God is the breath of life. And those who worship God will worship God with their every breath and the truth of their being. Oh my gosh. You know, sometimes we find ourselves out of sync with the universe, don't we? We've been casting our nets over the wrong side of our boat of our consciousness. Perhaps nothing can make us feel more out of sync than when we lose something like a billfold or a purse or an important paper or your car keys, right? Our first reaction may be just to simply panic. You ever done that? Just panic? And then And then feel the disorder abound as we rush around in a frenzy trying to find what we think is missing. I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that. So in that moment, what would you have to do to turn away? What you have to do is to turn away from. What is it that you have to turn away from? So that you can get back to fishing on that sea of infinite possibilities, fishing for divine ideas, so that you can build the place of your dreams. When we find that we're out of sync with the universe and not drawing to us the things that we expect, this is a question we have to ask ourselves, right? We have to, what's missing? What's going on here? Not demanding to know why someone else or something else hasn't pulled through for us. Not why somebody else ain't doing it for us. But what's missing in our awareness? Right. There is a tried and true method that can be used at the first inkling that something is out of sync. Whether it is a material object or is something else missing from our lives, stop following your human searching. Stop and take a deep breath in. And allow that sacred breath to fill your lungs and then just wash over your being. Become aware of the living energy all about you, flowing through you. Be still and know the I Am presence within you. Right? That I'm going to get you into practice of using the I Am only in positive, uplifting ways. Don't take the I Am's name in vain. You know, that's one of those Ten Commandments what we were supposed to learn. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. You know what the Lord's name is? I Am. Right? We're going to start saying I Am only in positive and uplifting ways. Become aware of the living energy all about you. Be still and know the I Am presence, the Christ within you. And then affirm to yourself, I am aware of and guided by the sacred breath of life as I fish on the sea of infinite possibilities. In his book, Mysteries of John, Charles Fillmore wrote about this mystical fishing trip that we're all on. The human mind is a net that catches thoughts. Have you ever thought of your mind as a net? That you were fishing in the sea of infinite possibilities? Your mind is a net that catches thoughts, which are flowing out of the divine fountain of the universe. What are you fishing for? The thoughts you catch provide a basis of all external conditions in your life. The net of man's thoughts work hard and long in the darkness of human understanding, but it gains little. Once you perceive the Christ and follow its guidance, the nets will be cast on the right side, and you'll find success in all that you do. So, when an urgent need arises and you're feeling out of sync with the universe, you want a quick solution. Don't panic, right? Don't doubt. Don't worry, because anxiousness don't help nothing. Being worried and anxious don't solve nothing, right? Instead, become still and remember the Christ goes before us to Galilee and calls to us from the shore between the realm of infinite possibilities and the manifest reality. Christ in you is standing at the shore of your mind, calling you to remember to throw your nets on the right side, to cast your thoughts to a place where you can begin to feel and sense that field of living possibilities. Happy fishing. So I invite y'all to go on a fishing trip with me.